Good evening. Let's quickly stand and let's just sit down again. Thanks, guys. Let's just quickly wake up. Let's get the blood flowing again. Good evening. It's so great to be here with you guys tonight. And yes, Ali is in Shofar Standerton. He was preaching there. I was supposed to preach back in Pretoria tonight, and Friday the phone me said, am I available to come? And I said, no, but I'm here anyway. And it's great to be here. A little bit about myself. My name is Christu, and I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I love how Angus Bachan puts it, I'm just a hungry beggar showing another hungry beggar where to find food. Yeah, that's what I am. My daily job is I'm student pastor in Shofar Pretoria. So I come from there, so we made a quick trip down. It's beautiful. Drive past a lot of sunflower crops. You call it crops? Or fields? Fields, yeah. So it's really beautiful coming here. And I'm looking forward to the road back home tonight as well. I hear it's still raining a lot up in Joburg and Pretoria. So, no, hallelujah. Great stuff. Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, for your goodness, your grace, your presence, and your word, Father, which is truth and life. And thank you, Father God, that we all know that you are a good God. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you've already worked in our hearts through this week, preparing us for today, preparing us for what you want to do, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that every word that will depart from my mouth will bring life, will spring forth fruit, Father God, which we can carry out into our daily lives, Father God, having your kingdom come through it, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I was sharing a message this morning, and you know, it's always great, you know, being filled with Holy Spirit and all. He just comes and, you know, he's Lord. He can do whatever he wants to. And he really threw my message out this morning. So I felt really confused and stuff. And you know what? He's just done the same just now. So I'm not going to really look on my notes tonight. I want to speak a bit about missions, seeing that it is which we started off tonight. And I just want to honor you guys for what you are doing in the city. It's really great. And, you know, God has really given me a heart for the mission field as well. God sent me to Pretoria. I moved there about 5 months ago. And to be quite honest, I haven't really been there a lot because God has just been sending me to places. But it's really just an immense privilege to be used by God. And I want to start off by asking us a simple question tonight. And as Yanni was touching on it, on worship, and it's so great how God has been speaking to her. He's been speaking to me about the word as well tonight. Do we know Jesus? It's a relatively easy and simple question. But if we really go and think about it, close our eyes and think about it, and if we have to compare it to a relationship we have with a friend or family member, you know, if you think about them, we can see them, we know how their face looks like, we know how they feel maybe, we know what's in their fridge. But if we think about Jesus, what is it that we really see or think about? Do we picture a man in a robe with long brown hair? Do we only picture scriptures? Do we only picture the testimonies we have of Jesus, which he came and done on earth? You know, for us, with the model lifestyle which we need to follow. Is that what we picture, or do we actually see Jesus? And what is it that Jesus wants us to know or think or see when we think about him? And I know that you all know that the main thing Jesus came down for was not only to model to us a lifestyle to follow, or only to display signs and wonders and miracles, but he actually came for the main reason to reconcile us with God the Father. Because of the chasm that came because of Adam and Eve, Jesus came to rectify that and to reconcile us with our dad. And so he came to establish a relationship with the world, with us, with every single one of us. So do we know Jesus? I know we know the word. I know we know what he has done. But do we know Jesus? Jesus not only longs to know us on a shallow basis, you know, once a week, once a month, maybe 2 minutes a day, He wants to be involved in every single aspect of our lives. And I'm also sure, just bear with me, that you have heard this somewhere along your lives as well, that Jesus requires intimacy. But did we, after hearing that, did we, after knowing that, actually go and pursue a relationship with Jesus? Because He has already done everything. He's already come all the way. He came from heaven to be a man, to, you know, to let everything hang out on the cross, to be beaten, to be tortured, so that we can have life and life in abundance through a relationship with Him. So do we know Jesus? If you close your eyes, do you see Jesus? Can you relate to Jesus? Do you know what He wants, what He says, how He feels about you, what He says about you? Do we know these things apart from what we read in the Word? Because you know what? The Holy Spirit has been poured out over this earth. Jesus was excited to go so that we can have the Holy Spirit. Why? So that we can have that life, so that we can have a comforter, so that we can have power, but ultimately so the Holy Spirit can guide us into the true knowledge and wisdom of who Jesus is. So do we know Jesus? If we think about our faith, Christianity, do we only think about the cross? Is the cross our focal point? Is it our end point? Or is it our starting point of our belief, of our faith? If you say Jesus is alive, do we need to believe in Him, He who was before the cross or He who was after the cross? You know, the Word is truth, every single word of it. But the Bible, you know, without the Holy Spirit, it's just a book. It's a spiritual book, which means we need a Spirit to be able to discern it, to read it, to understand it. With the Holy Spirit, this book comes alive. It becomes real. And then it's like a guideline for us on how to live our lives. Every single answer to every question, to every mystery, to everything that we can ever go through, the answer is in this book. Every single thing. And that is why Jesus also came, so that He can go through all these things He went through, so that He can relate to us and not just say, you know what, I don't actually know what you're going through, Christy, but this is my answer. No, He knows exactly what we are going through, so that He can, out of a place of relating with us, respond to that. So Jesus is a God of intimacy, of relationship, of knowing us. You know, that word knowing is the same word which we read in Genesis when God says Adam knew Eve. The same intimacy that a husband and a wife has with sexual intercourse. It's a real intimate knowing one another. That's the same knowing that Jesus speaks about when He says, I want to know you. It's a real intimate thing. It's not a shallow thing. It's not, hey, what's up? I know you because I walk past you every day. No. It's a real intimate thing. And I want us to understand this tonight and not hear it. I don't want you to hear me. I don't want you to see me. I want, even if you want to go sit in the corner with your head back turned towards me, do whatever you need to do so that the Holy Spirit can just place this into your heart. That God wants to know you. Now we can look around on what's going on in the world currently. Apart from what the Holy Spirit is doing, you know, bringing thousands of people to salvation every single day. Now there's World War III. It's on the brink of maybe happening. I don't know if you've ever seen the news lately, but between Russia and Ukraine, there's quite hectic things going. I see someone else wants to bomb North Korea now again. There's a Boeing 777 from Malaysia Air missing with 230-something people on it. You know, there's chaos currently in the world. And where do we fit into this picture? Are we supposed to cry, be sad, be anxious, worry about these things? Let's read out of Philippians 4. And I feel like I'm in the way when I say this. So I'm just going to say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. He said, you know, amidst your trials, amidst your tribulations, amidst the hardships You need to do what? You need to give thanks to God and to make all your requests, all these things we go through daily, our exams, our works, our situations, World War III, all these things, we just need to give to God and make our requests known to Him. Then what will happen? A peace which surpasses all understanding will fill our hearts, will fill our minds in Christ Jesus. A lot of times we pray for people and say, may the peace that surpasses understanding for you. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. It comes from us giving thanks to God and making all our requests known to Him. Then He brings a peace which we'll never be able to understand. But it comes from Jesus. And it comes from out of a place. You know what? God didn't intend us or make us or left us on this world so that we can worry about stuff. Worry never helps anything or anyone. But He placed us here to change this world. To pray things into being. To tell people about Him. Great Commission. Go on missions. Go to your neighbor. Do we know if our neighbors are saved? Have we ever spoken to Him? Do we really care enough about them so that we do not want to see them in hell one day? I trust that the Holy Spirit will truly just come and rekindle something inside of our lives today, that we can just for a little while just not focus on ourselves, but focus on what is going on around us. Not to worry about it, but you know what? To change it. Prayer leads to peace. If you pray about everything, God gives us a peace. And we pray to whom? To a living Jesus. If we are constantly only focusing on the cross, which is great, which happened, which is a medium through we have reconciliation. But if you constantly keep focusing on the cross and in the process miss Jesus, now we are missing the whole picture. Now, with Jesus being alive, being glorified, sitting in heaven next to God, praying for all of us every single day, that alone is quite insane. If you really think about it, now what is Jesus doing? He's praying for you. He's praying for what you are thinking right now, what you're feeling right now, what you're going to do when you go out. He's praying for you. He's making intercession for all of us constantly until He's coming again. Do you think He wants us to now focus still on the cross or focus on Him who is alive and has given to us all things which pertain to life and godliness? It's not only the miracles and the signs which we need to focus on, but Jesus as well. It's quite a hectic scripture, and I'm sure you all know this about Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy, cast out demons, do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you are workers of lawlessness, of iniquity. If you have to go back to the roots of the translation, Jesus actually speaks, depart from me, you are like dung. Okay? Now, I'm not making this any worse than it is. It's just the truth. So it's not just, don't come near me. It's get away, because you are like dung before me. It's quite hectic if you really, you know. I don't know if anyone has ever said that to you, to your face, like a friend or an enemy. But let's just get real for a second. Jesus will say, this is what He will say to you. If you come to heaven, if you come to Him with our lists of, I got 200,000 people I brought to salvation. I saw 300 people raised out of the dead. And I even told my neighbor about Jesus. But if that's in a place of us not actually knowing Jesus, you know what? Depart from me. You practice lawlessness. You are a worker of iniquity. Psalm 101 is not on the board, says, a perverse heart will be far from me, and I will know nothing of evil. There's a very fine line in our walk with Christ. Do we focus on living a Christian lifestyle, or do we focus on Christ? Because if we focus on the Christian lifestyle, oh man, we are in big trouble. We're in big trouble, guys and girls. And I know we are all young, all of us. We've got our lives ahead of us. I know we have a passion. We many times say, Jesus, I want to do this for you. You know what? He hears you. And I can promise you he's going to take you up on that. But that shouldn't be the focus. The focus should be Jesus. Because if our focus is Jesus, we will have a relationship with him. And out of a relationship with him, he will give us daily tasks which we need to do. And he's longing. He's like, oh man. I don't know if you've ever seen the picture of Jesus reaching out, crying, passion to know us, to really know us. And that's what he does every single day. That's why he created us. To have a relationship. And let me veer off a little and bring missions into it again. But you know what? Everything is about missions. Every single sermon, every single prayer, every single thing we do, it's missions. Because if we do not have a lifestyle of everything we do for Christ, thinking, God, how is this affecting your kingdom or someone else to get saved? We're also missing the point, because the Great Commission is we need to go tell people about Jesus. If we do not tell people about Jesus or living a lifestyle reflecting Christ, then what are we reflecting? We are reflecting the world. But that's just an extra. A while back, July last year, I went with a team to Sri Lanka. And if you don't know where it is, it's just south coast of India. And we went there to what we call a scouting mission. And went there with three other people. A lady was on there as well. And they were a married couple. You know what, married couples, you guys are great on missions. It just makes everything so much easier for the rest of the people. It's another sideline thing. And we went, and God led us to move to the northern parts of Sri Lanka. And, you know, at that time it was quite a hectic. Whoever thinks that Buddhists are these bored head people, really calm, just humming all day, you know, that's also wrong. Because when we were there, they were called Buddhist extremists. They were bombing churches. And people were fearing for their lives, and churches were not able to, you know, to have church publicly. They were forced out to do it in homes, and when they are in the homes, they're not allowed to actually be heard by the Buddhists that live right next to them. So it's not really, you know, it's not pleasant. It's not great to be a Christian there, it's really not. But God led us then out of the city of Kaloma to go into the villages where things are a little bit more hectic, and God led us to this village. I'm not going to say the name, but, you know, we found ourselves in a situation with this house filled with people, like packed with people, old people, young people, guys, girls, you know, everything. And they've never heard about Jesus, like never. They've never actually ever seen someone from the outside coming into their village. So these were really like an unreached place. And this is where the simplicity of the gospel comes in. And then I was like, okay, Lord, what now? He just says, just tell them of who I am. So we started from, you know, from Genesis to where Jesus came and died on the cross. Told them about it. Told them about the Holy Spirit. And within an hour of meeting those people, all of them came to the place of accepting Christ into their lives. You know, but not because of me speaking or reading anything, but because Jesus actually pitched up and revealed himself to the people. Because I could tell them of this Jesus I know out of a relationship. And then they accepted that Jesus. And you know what happened then? Right after, just as Jesus did when he was on earth, after his sermon, what did he do? He displayed power. People got healed. He did signs and wonders to back up that which he spoke about. You know what happened right after they accepted Jesus? All of them needed prayer for healing. And all of them got healed from all these various different kind of crazy things. So Jesus really pitched up. And in a moment, span of in time of a couple of hours, not only that entire village got saved, but in that house that one night were all the leaders from the province and their workers. So you know what happened that one night? An entire province came to Christ in Sri Lanka. That's quite insane. Hallelujah. When Jesus pitches up, he draws people to him because that is his heart. And he wants to do it through every single thing in our lives. And if we sit here tonight and we do not know Jesus, haven't given our lives to him, or we are at a place of not really being able to relate to who he is, out of place of relationship, then we need to reconnect with him tonight. Not later tonight or tomorrow, you know what, because you're going to get busy again and not worry about it anymore. But while the Holy Spirit is working in you tonight, we need to respond to that. Because we never know what might happen later tonight. Or tomorrow morning. Or whatever. So let's get back to the thing of no anxiety, no fear, no worry. As we say that Jesus is alive. He died on the cross. Then 3 days went by before he revealed himself on earth again. And you know what the Holy Spirit revealed to me quite recently, and it was quite really great when I found out about it. After Jesus died, you know what? Bit of history, when Adam and Eve sinned, they gave the keys of life. They gave it to Satan. So Satan is in control of this world. In case you didn't know that, Satan is the prince of this world. And they gave the keys of life to him. So when Jesus came, after he died, Jesus went down to Hades. And he took back the keys of life from Satan. Okay? So that is why when we say, Jesus, I give you my life, I give you my heart, you are my king, then we receive life and life in abundance. Why? Because he has the keys of life. So only through Jesus we have life, and only through Jesus we can go to heaven and know the Father and have relationship and have blessing and have really difficult days. But you know what? He will never leave us. He will never forsake us because he is good and always good and knows what is best for us, above our partners, above our people in relationship with us. So after going to Hades and not only taking the keys of life back from the devil, he actually preached to the lost souls. The Bible speaks about from the time of Noah, the ark, all those people that denied what was happening, up to when he came again. You know what? Many didn't even hear the gospel, had a fair chance. So Jesus went down to Hades, not just to take the keys, but he actually preached to those souls. And those who repented and accepted them, he took them out of Hades. So, you know, God is a just God. So he gave all of them who died before he came a chance to know him as well. You know, that's just great. I don't know, this is just new for me, but this is just great. Knowing this. So while back, on his way back to heaven, taking all the souls up, Jesus did what? He reappeared on earth in a different form. Why? Because he was now in the process of being glorified through God. So that's why when the people saw him, they didn't know who he was. He said, I was Jesus. He was walking through walls. He was appearing here and there. While the disciples were having supper, he would just pop, appear in the room. Yes, that would be insane. Speaking to them and then he would be gone as well. Can I give you guys another sideline thing? Not. what is a big dream of mine? I want to be teleported by Jesus. You know, having a heart for mission is always really a schlep to fly everywhere because it takes so long. Especially if you have 10 or 17 hour layovers in places like Mumbai or Dubai. You know, it's so boring. So I'm really trusting God that one day he will start teleporting me and not stop doing it. Because you know what? It's biblical. Even before Jesus died, people were teleported. And you know that time when Jesus walked out to the disciples into the boat while they were on the way to the other way? He teleported all of them and the boat to suddenly be on the other side as well. Did you guys know that? It's insane. If you do not know that, oh man, just go read your Bible again. Go read everything. Go look for it. It's insane, the miraculous and the way in which God moves. So, you know, sideline, that's just a desire of mine. If you want to pray for me, for it to be released over my life, feel free. You can come and lay hands on me later. I'm totally open for that. Yes, it will be cool, but you know, to be more effective as well. Imagine saying, God, you're lying in bed. He says, you know what, Christy, this is an assignment. Let's go back to Visakhapatnam. He says, you need to do this. And poof, I'm there. You do the work and poof, you're back. Quickly, I have a nice plate of chicken tandoori and then you're back. But it's not actually nice. But anyway, not in India. John 20 verse 19. on the evening of the day, the first day of the week, this is after Jesus died and he was resurrected again, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." So the Jews were having supper, they were afraid, they locked themselves in a room. Jesus, poof, teleported, appeared there. He said, what? "Peace be with you." Then poof, he's gone again. So do you see how this links up, apart from the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi? Jesus also appearing after his death, saying, you know what? Have peace. Peace be with you. Do not worry. Do not be afraid. You know what? Fear is not from God, if you haven't known that. It's not. If you have fear, just, you know, God needs to fill you again with his love, because perfect love casts out all fear. God wants you to have peace through everything, through every situation. And I shared a bit earlier today, it is, you know, God has such a great sense of humor. For me having to speak about this tonight, because just this past week, I was in a situation and stuff happened in my life, and I almost feel set up by God. You know what? I don't know if you ever had situations like that. But I found myself in the situation, knowing it is from God, and really only He could have made it happen. And this thing happened, and you know, I felt like Jonah. I was like, God, I'm running. This is not going to happen. You made a mistake. This is the wrong person. And because I tried to understand and work everything out of my head, it's like us guys love to do. We want to be so much in control. So God said, I need to speak about this tonight. I hope you guys understand my... Sometimes you don't need to use words. Tim is going to do a prophetic dance for us later. Can I get an amen? So I actually needed to repent a lot before I could bring this message to you guys tonight. Because even knowing all of this, I still got into the trap of, okay, whoa, now this, you know, God, now this is too far, this is too big. But it's not. And I have peace. I'm a little excited about it. And now God is actually working through me that which He's done this past week. And, you know, the same is with us. I think it's so easy to fall back into the trap of worrying about an exam. You know what? If you start worrying about exams, step number one, just study. Step number two, tell God you are worrying, and then He will take it away and give you peace. But again, step number one, study. Same with work projects and all that we do. You know, we need to do outside as well. But God truly brings then a peace which we cannot understand. Then He starts to minister to you about which it is which He wants to do. Bill Johnson, I don't know if you guys know who he is. He's a senior pastor in a church called Bethel in America. He states the following so well, and all my notes are so out of order. Let me just quickly get it. One who embraces an inferior cross is constantly filled with introspection and self-induced suffering. But the cross is not self-applied. Jesus did not nail Himself to the cross. You know what? Jesus didn't want to go on the cross. That is why He prayed, and even prayed to the point of sweating blood. You know, that's hectic. Who's ever sweated blood with praying before? So none of us know how it feels to be at a place of being so anxious and not wanting to do anything, but then still finally surrendering to the will of God. And we all know what the effect is thereof. We are sitting here today. That is the effect of Jesus' obedience. But us, if we are caught in this counterfeit cross, constantly focusing on that, and not walking away from the point of being a sinner saved from grace, which we are saved by grace alone. But if we keep focusing on this, and not moving over to the point of being an heir of Christ, we're in bondage. Because in the middle of this is the cross, sinner saved by grace, to being in relationship with Jesus, an heir of the throne of God. We are His sons, we are His daughters. We have all power. We have all things pertaining to life and godliness to be partakers of His divine nature. And us constantly declaring, God, I'm so unworthy. I'm not the right person. You, someone else. It's not humility. It's pride. Because we are taking away from that which the cross has meant and was intended for. And we are placing ourselves there and saying, I'm not worthy. Yes, we are not worthy. We will never be. But Jesus chose us and He made us worthy through His blood. And then we should actually make a conscious decision. And we need to make it tonight. Saying, Jesus, I've been focusing on myself so much. I gave my life to You. I told You I wanted to take up my cross and follow You daily as You require. But through this process, I brought myself into the picture again. You know what? If you are dead, you're dead. Finished and klaar. So we cannot bring ourselves into the equation ever again in our relationship with Jesus. Because when God looks at us, He sees what? He sees Jesus. He sees a completed work through the blood of Christ. And we are a completed work. We are fully redeemed. We are fully restored. We have full life. We are fully competent to do anything Jesus will ever ask and require of us because of His blood and the Holy Spirit. So if we say, Jesus, but my left ear doesn't work properly, you know what? It's just such nonsense, and I think God hates it because He's like, but why did I send my son? If you are still looking at yourself, not focusing on Jesus. So tonight there are two specific groups of people. And the one group consists out of two groups. If you have never given your life to Jesus, tonight I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And what the group 1.2. If the Holy Spirit has been working in you, just while I was speaking and stuff, and you like the place, okay, God, I've been looking at myself way too much, and I really do not actually know You. Then tonight is just a chance again to say, God, firstly, I repent because of taking back my life into my own hands again. But I actually really want to give You control. I really want You to be Christ over my life. And then the second group is if we really struggle with anxiety and fear and worry, and we do not understand or ever experience this peace which goes above all understanding, then I want to pray with you as well. So that peace may come, but through you giving thanks to God and making all your requests known to Him. I want to read a last portion of Scripture in Revelation. Now, John was exiled to this island because they weren't able to kill him. So they put him on an island, and that's where he wrote the book of Revelation, and Jesus appeared to him many times. And we read in Revelation 1, verse 12 to 18. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. This is John. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in full strength. Then John fell on his face as if being dead, seeing Jesus. Then Jesus laid his right hand on him, saying, fear not, have peace. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. If you ever wondered what Jesus looks like, that's what He looks like. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine it. It is insane. Why don't you guys stand with me? And let's respond. I've already mentioned the groups. 1.1 is salvation. 1.2 is recommitting your life to Jesus. Second group is If you want a piece of God, you're for your being. So if you're part of 1.1 or 1.2, come to my left, please. If you're part of group 2, come to my right. We're just going to worship. Let's do our Father. Can we do that again, please? And apart from that, if you need any other prayer, if you'd like to receive healing, emotional, physical healing, whatever request you have, just come. We would love to pray with you. You know, because God is alive and He's here and He wants to touch you because He loves you. So let's worship, let's close our eyes. If you want to respond and come to the front, now is the time. For the rest of us, let's remain in a time of worship. And let's say, Jesus, you know what, Lord, I want to know You. I want to see Your face. Thank You, Jesus. Just before we pray for you, just make a request known to God. All these things we are thinking about, we are worrying about, we are stressing about, just bring it before God right now and say, God, thank You. First of all, for Your life and Your blood. And thank Him for the situation you are in because He placed you there. So thanking Him and make all your requests known to Him. I know You know that He knows everything, but He wants you to tell Him about it. So tell Him about it. And then we will just come around and we will pray for you.